You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Molly Grace. Molly, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Molly, I saw something online, an article, new message on a Triad billboard is generating protest, and this is from the Triad City Beat. I want to get into that in great detail in a moment, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are?
Sure. Well, my name is Molly Grace. I currently own a business in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It is a lifestyle boutique that sells sort of small batch handcrafted goods made from all over the country. And we also are a community maker space. So we have events, workshops, community discussions, panel discussions, idea sharing events, all sorts of things here in the evenings at the shop. I'm a single mother of a little boy. Previously, before that, I was a stay-at-home mom. And I was also a school teacher for a time, middle school teacher. And I'm also an artist as well. I'm a painter. And I'm from up north. I moved down south about 7 years ago.
Okay, great, Molly. Where'd you move from?
I moved from Pennsylvania and other cities up north. I grew up in Pennsylvania, in western Pennsylvania.
I saw that in this article where it said that your shop, Clure, is that how to say it?
Yes.
Okay, it said Clure, a boutique and community maker space in downtown Winston-Salem. I never heard that term before, maker space, but thank you for explaining.
Yeah, maker spaces are sort of popping up all over the country right now. It's a fairly recent trend, but they're generally described as sort of community public spaces with tools and other resources that are open for the public to share in the sort of spirit of idea sharing and skill sharing. So it's a safe place where people can come together, try new ideas or try new skills, and use collaborative resources together to educate themselves.
Excellent. Thank you for explaining that. So the article here talks about this billboard, and of course the billboard just has, I think it's 7 words, Real Men Provide on the top line in, looks like, bolder letters. Of course, I haven't seen the billboard. And underneath that, then another line, it says Real Women Appreciate It.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this billboard visible to a lot of vehicles?
Yes. It is right off of the shoulder on Business I-40. If you're coming westbound, it's just past the Linville Road exit, coming out of Kernersville, North Carolina, headed into the city of Winston-Salem. And it's really, really right there off the shoulder.
Okay, great.
It's not like obstructed by trees or anything.
So why don't you tell the listeners how this all unfolded when you first saw it and what you were thinking? Because in the article here, it says that, and we'll get into that too, but it says here that you decided to have some kind of an event to protest what the sign represents. So why don't you start from the beginning, if you remember when you saw it, how the events unfolded after that?
Sure. So essentially, I do a lot of work already in this community here in sort of consciousness raising about a lot of humanitarian issues. More just we have discussions in the store about these things, about coming together and talking about having difficult conversations. And I'm also a feminist and fairly active as much as I can be for certain movements, also for civil rights and racial equity. So because of that, the number of people in the community here know, or rather knew, that I would care to know that this billboard existed. So on that Sunday, I guess it was a week and a half ago, whenever that was, a few people alerted me to it and said, hey, have you seen this billboard? It's going to really piss you off. And I had not yet. I don't drive out that way very often. So I had not seen it in person. So I went out the next day and just drove past it just to get an idea of where it was. And I don't know, just to see it. And that was the day that I went on Facebook and I said, this exists. We're going to protest this thing. And by we, it just sort of meant whoever. I said, you know, it would be great to get 100 people on board. At the time, I was really just sort of impulsively thinking about how offensive it was to specific types of women, all women, but also just in general, as a working woman, I was frustrated. So initially, I called on women to gather and talk about this. And then the more I thought about it, the more I realized this has much more to do with all types of women, not just working women. And so as soon as I made that public, got a large community here, positive response, people saying, yeah, I saw that. I can't believe it. We're totally with you. Let's do this. And the next day on Tuesday, to go just sort of spend time at the billboard, I parked and got out of my car and sat there for a while and thought about the message and thought about a lot of the work that me and many, many men and women that I know work toward all the time, and the message and sort of everything. And then shortly after, I believe, was when I spoke with City Beat and then the Winston-Salem Journal, and then that got picked up by the AP Wire and started getting calls from news stations and then other publications. And I think it was Thursday that I went national. Breitbart, of course, picked it up, I heard, and others as well. And then suddenly celebrities were tweeting about it. And I started getting calls from all over the country from supporters and also people with opposing viewpoints as well.
Okay, thank you for explaining that. What about the sign got under your skin?
So there are several things. I know it seems strange to say because it is 7 words. And to me, the fact that it was such an organic reaction on my part and many other people who just sort of, there's a lot of quotes on there on the internet and comments and people who were like, you know, I saw it and felt sick for a few miles afterwards just thinking about it. So there's something inherently in the words just off the bat that for those of us who understand it to be offensive, feel and understand without being able to put into words. So there's this initial gut reaction that's just like, oh God, that's archaic and wrong. And so if you pick apart the semantics of the words, but also not just the words that are used, but the words that are not used, the sort of qualifiers to those statements that are not included, it really starts to make a lot more sense. And that's what a lot of people, I think, who are opposing our viewpoints aren't considering. It's sort of like, of course, you could pick apart these words. They're sort of deliberately vague in some ways. So of course you could say, oh, this could be about this or this could be about that. But whenever we've been having conversations, and I've had a lot of conversations with people who both agree and disagree with protesting this sentiment, the issue is not the fact that somebody said these words. The issue that I take and many other people take, I can't speak for everyone, but there are others who have no interest in blaming or condemning the people who said it or who paid for this billboard, nor the owner of the billboard itself for allowing it to be up. This is not a question of free speech. Absolutely not. It's more the idea that there are people in this world who still think that the primary role for a man, I'm not saying the only role for a man, that the primary role for a man in a household is to provide. And that the primary role for the woman, not the only role, but the primary role for the woman is to appreciate what her man does for her. And regardless of the reason for this billboard being put up, of course, they don't go into what specifically this man is providing in this hypothetical billboard situation. It's not so much that matters. It's the second line that we take issue with. It is not that we're saying men shouldn't provide. And it's not that we're saying that women shouldn't appreciate. It's rather than, first of all, the choice to use the specific gender terms for those specific roles. It doesn't say real people provide, real people appreciate it. It says men provide, women appreciate it. It doesn't say real men provide, real women appreciate it, and real women provide also, and real men appreciate it also. It doesn't say that. It specifically delineates the action, the measurable, actionable role of providing to men, and the inaction, the emotion, the non-measurable emotion, non-action of appreciating to women. And so this is arguable only in that there isn't anybody, whether they're for or against our protest or for or against the sentiment on that billboard, it is not arguable. Everybody knows because of religious texts since the beginning of civilization, civilizations all over the world, not just Western, not just developed countries, all over the world, it has long been accepted, and everybody knows this, that typically, historically, that's the key word, historically, men have been seen as primary role providers. And it also can't be argued that in our society and many others, but especially our society, women have in the past, for decades and decades, for centuries, been seen as one of their at least primary roles being purely emotional beings, governed by their emotions, less capable of men in performing skills, less capable of men at exercising reason and rationale and intelligence. And anyone who wants to tell me, oh, you guys are complaining nothing, I look at them and I say, are you kidding me? You know, it is measurable how both legislatively and also socially women have in the past, no one has blinked an eye. It was undisputed that women were, quote, less capable than men. Now, that's not to say that we didn't have our own roles in providing historically, cross-culturally, cross-centuries, cross-developmentally, all over the world. Women have always had providing roles as child givers, child rearers, homemakers, even as far back as hunter-gatherer societies, doing equal work, just different type of work back home while men went and hunted and fished and things like that. And one would obviously argue that that is providing. Now, giving emotional support or appreciation to a, quote, man or a partner is also providing, but that billboard does not say real men provide, real women provide. Any stay-at-home mom will tell you that that is a full-time job that it is providing, that she probably is providing more for her household than her husband is as a stay-at-home mother. Is upsetting because it does directly offend working women. It does directly leave out women who choose not to be in relationships or who are the sole provider for their home. The billboard does leave out people who are in same-sex partnerships. It is heteronormative. All of these things are offensive inherently because those words are so limiting in who they are addressing and what they are talking about. But however, you can complain about those things, and sure, and those are upsetting things too. But the main sentiment that made me and so many other people angry is the fact that people still in the 21st century in 2017, that there are still people who do see the man's primary role in a relationship, in a heteronormative relationship, if he's going to be a real man, meaning a worthy man, meaning a man of value, if he's going to be a real man, he's going to provide. And if that woman, and again, I do not take issue with that first statement. Real men do provide. Real people do provide. People. People of worth do take care of other people. However, it's the second sentiment. It's the fact that that second sentence existed that indicates very strongly that whoever put this billboard up still believes that in order for a woman to be worthy, in order for a woman to have value as a grown-ass woman, pardon my French, that she must inherently appreciate what is provided for her by not just a person, but a man. It's the choice of words that is so offensive. And it's not only that. Now, I come up with all that because I sat down and thought about it. I sat under the billboard the second time I saw it and just looked at it and thought of all the things that could fall under the umbrella of that sentiment. However, I'm a grown-ass woman and I'm already woke. I'm already woken up to the fact that women are an oppressed, marginalized group in this country. And that's not to say that people are actively choosing, that all people are actively choosing to oppress us. But I will say this, most of the backlash that I've received since making this a public statement have been from men who are calling, who are threatening my safety, who are telling me that I should go make a sandwich, who are telling me, aren't there any blowjobs I should be giving while my cake is in the oven? Don't I have better things to do with my time, like take care of my husband when he gets home from work? The issue is not that someone took out that billboard. The issue is that that billboard, to me, demonstrates just how deeply permeating sexism still is in our society. And if there needs to be evidence, if anyone's going to say, oh, Molly, that's just your imagination, you're just exaggerating. Read the comments. Read some of the things that men and women are saying back about this, how sexist they are. And now the main thing, though, is I already see this stuff every day before this billboard. That billboard did not surprise me at all, nor did it surprise probably most people who saw it and were disgusted by it. We know that people think that, especially if you're a woman. Not all women. Obviously, there are plenty of women who think that I'm completely crazy for caring about that billboard. But there are a lot of women across the country now. I mean, I'm getting emails from all over the country who are telling me how disturbed they are by that sentiment. We are women who already knew that we were marginalized. Now, my biggest concern is those seven words, I've had time to sit and think about it. With my experience and all that I've seen, all the terrible things that men say to me on the street, all the terrible things that I see men say to my girlfriends or other young girls. I was a middle school teacher. I saw the way that men talk to my eighth graders, my seventh graders. I know that that stuff exists on the street. I see it all the time. That's why I'm a feminist. That's why I will never, never, never not be a feminist. Simply because I see the way that men talk to women and I get it all the time. And I see the way that men interrupt women and see the way that men tell women to hush and be quiet if they get loud or super opinionated. I see it. But the girls, the little girls and the little boys in cars that are driving past that billboard and see that message, you're a 9-year-old girl and you can read and you see that message, what does that tell you about your place in this world? If you're a young boy, you're 9 years old and you see that message, what does that tell you? What is your role? Your role is to provide and it's the role of your woman to appreciate you. I don't know what the people who put the billboard up were hoping to promote. Maybe it's about something totally different. Hey, maybe it is. Maybe they just chose poor words. And it wasn't intended to be sexist, and we're misinterpreting it. Regardless, it's still a damaging thing for young boys or young girls to see. And also, whether that billboard was a mistake or not, whether that billboard existed or not ever, sexism does exist, and it hurts people. And a lot of the people who get online or who say, oh, you're crazy, well, you're not hurt by it. You're not upset by it. You don't see it. Or you're a man and you don't experience it. And that's fine and good for you. And you can voice your opposing views all you want. Absolutely, that's your right. But it's my right to say, I'm sorry, you don't experience it. You don't see it. And the issue is more specifically that it goes deeper those words, it displays this sentiment that is age old. It's not new. It's not like we who are mad about the billboard are like, I can't believe people would say that. No, we're saying, of course people are saying that. They've been saying that since the beginning of civilization. They've certainly been saying it since the beginning of ours. And it is not the 18th century. This is absolutely absurd that in 2017 on a billboard, someone would accept that that message is in black and white, towering over the children who are driving by in cars. And again, what we are protesting is not the billboard. We are protesting the fact that there are people that think that that's totally okay, that think, yeah, that's a terrifically healthy message for our kids to see. Terrific. Women, you appreciate your man, no questions asked. Don't voice any dissatisfaction, just appreciate what is provided for you. And men, if you're a real man, you're going to provide for her. And that is what the issue is.
Thank you very much for getting into it the way you did and explaining it in great detail for the listeners. So we don't know right now who actually bought these seven words.
Yeah, I don't think so. At least in terms of day before yesterday, which is the last I sort of checked into that, I don't believe they've come forward.
You said you're originally from Western Pennsylvania, and now you're down in North Carolina, and I guess Winston-Salem is the fourth most populous city in the state of North Carolina. It's also, I read, the most religious city in North Carolina, with about 54% of the population being religiously affiliated, with Christianity being the largest religion. Did you notice a difference between the attitude toward men and women in Western Pennsylvania and North Carolina?
I did, actually, yeah. It's hard to say about Western Pennsylvania because the area in which I grew up is fairly traditionally minded. It's not a very diverse area. It's a small town, mostly white, mostly hetero. And typically, it wasn't that anyone was anti sort of these other lifestyles. It was just more like people didn't even really realize that they actually existed. That was sort of like stuff that was in movies. There was a college nearby that brought in some diversity, but it was typically a pretty peaceful place and not much dissension one way or the other toward other people's lifestyles or views. So in that sense, I grew up pretty sheltered. I grew up less aware that in other parts of the world, people hated other people very much. Or let's just say condemned the lifestyles of other people. Let's not say hate. Let's say condemned the lifestyles of. I was not aware growing up that in other parts of the world and this country, that people were so vehement in their condemnation of other people's lifestyles. And I also didn't totally understand the role that religion played in that. But I moved to New York City when I was 17. And pretty diverse and pretty filled with people, and very quickly became aware of my womanhood, let's just say, and became very aware of the way that men felt that they were allowed to talk to a total stranger about herself, whether asked or not, typically unprompted. And so suddenly had this very rude awakening that men don't ask permission before sharing their opinions on a woman's body and also a woman's mouth and her words and how loud they are and how opinionated they are. And I very suddenly, as a 17-year-old woman, almost woman, realized just how kind of intimidating it is to be a woman in a man's world. And I was too young to be able to really articulate it, but I knew that I was uncomfortable. Also, around that time, started to understand a bit more about just bigotry in general toward racial groups and other religious groups, and started to just sort of open up and see the world a bit and to understand that there was marginalization, that people tend to stereotype and make assumptions about different types of people. Same thing for LGBTQ and whatever. I just really woke up to how separatist a lot of people wish the world was. That said, that was still New York City, and that's a very diverse place. And that was awakening for me. And then fast forward several years, and I lived in many other areas between then and now. But I will say this, when I moved down south about 7 years ago, and I said this before to other women that I've spoken to recently, it was moving down south that made me absolutely for the first time see, like slap in the face style, how accepted everyday, regular, unconscious sexism is. And when I say everyday, random, unconscious sexism, I mean truly unconscious. I mean, I'm not talking about the people who are sending me emails right now about making a sandwich. I'm talking about people who are really approachable and very nice and friendly and seem to be upstanding citizens, who are upstanding citizens, who, whenever I was waitressing at a restaurant downtown, felt it appropriate to grab my butt as a tip instead of a dollar, or would ask me to do things to their bodies unsolicited, or who would call at me on the street, or who would, if I started to tell an animated story, tell me to be quiet, or if I was asked an opinion, would interrupt it 15 seconds in so that they could state theirs again over and over, louder and louder. And I started to notice that that happened in almost every type of social group if it involved white males. And that is not to say that all white males are that way. I certainly don't think that. But it made me really thirst to read about and understand even more this notion of, to say, a patriarchal society that gives white men much more freedom inherently over all other groups. That's not to say that white men are bad. I'm not a male hater, nor are most feminists in any way. In fact, I've said this many times to many people over the last several years. I know and believe, as most feminists do, that in this day and age, the biggest help for the feminist movement is going to be men. We need to work together. And I love men. I love intelligent, thoughtful, compassionate men, just like I love intelligent, thoughtful, compassionate people. But coming down south in this very, quote, religious area, I started to realize just how denormalized compassion and tolerance is, and also how denormalized equality is. The idea of women being equal providers, regardless of what the term provider means, equal providers in the society. I've never lived anywhere where I see it so often. And it was really deeply distressing to me the very first year that I lived here. And that's when I started to get really sort of frustrated and amped up about it. And that's when I started to read about terms like gaslighting. I started to read about these examples, these traits of everyday unconscious, meaning people don't realize they're doing it. Everyday meaning it just happens casually. People aren't even aware that they're perpetuating it. People have no idea that what they're saying is actually making a woman close her mouth. Or shut up, or second guess whether she's interesting, or second guess whether she's intelligent, or second guess whether she's powerful. And the more I started to research about these social phenomenons, these tiny little actions that men and women do to silently, unconsciously send the message to women that they are less worthy, less, quote, real than men, I started to see it everywhere. And that's when I started to talk to other women who also felt that way, not just here, but across the country, and then connect people even overseas and just realize how much of it. It's not even an epidemic. You can't even call it an epidemic because it's been around forever. It's just how obvious, once you start seeing it, how obvious it is and how offensive it is living down here. Of course, there are so many more people down here than up in other cities that I've lived in who are not aware of it. And as such, because they're not aware of it, are horrified that I would say these things and just want to attack me and say, oh my God, how dare you? Men and women. Of course they are offended by me because they don't feel like their way of life is threatened. Or maybe they do. Maybe they feel like it's threatened by people like me saying these things. I don't know. But my question to anyone else is, protesting this billboard and the sentiment behind it, how does that hurt anybody? How does our saying this is inappropriate, how does that hurt somebody? What do people stand to lose if that billboard goes away? Or let's just say, what if that way of thinking stopped? What if everyone all over the world thought women were equal? Is that bad? Like, why defend the goal of that? I don't understand what women or men who are swearing at me or other people who are condemning the Women's March or the Women's Movement across the country, what do you stand to lose if women were to be equal? I just don't understand why I'm getting death threats just because women should be equal. And to me, that is what I was saying before. That seems to highlight the fact that this patriarchy doesn't just exist, but that people really accept it and want it to stay. I'll stop talking about that right now. I'll let you talk.
No, thank you for, like I told you before the interview, this is your show and listeners want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear what I have to say. And even if they did, that's too bad. They're not gonna. But are you a white woman?
I am a white woman, yes.
Okay. And how old are you, Molly?
I am 30 years old.
Are you heterosexual?
I am heterosexual, yes.
Okay. Did you think about, once you felt what you did about the South, mm-hmm. there in North Carolina, and that's really not the deep
yeah.
South, but it is pretty
no.
South. Did you think about leaving?
No. I love it here for a lot of reasons. I'm not someone who, even if I did, let me put it this way, I have not thought about leaving the South. I may for professional reasons one day, but I like it here a lot for many, many reasons. But even if I did, even if I was like fed up with certain ways of thinking down here, I wouldn't leave because I'm pretty vocal, as you may have noticed. And I tend to be driven, let's just say, like get up in the morning, driven to try to have these conversations. And prior to the billboard, I like live for trying to figure out how to make the area around me better. Not like save it, but just like get people to work together to make areas better and to make thinking better. And it would to go somewhere that was super progressive, which I have lived. I've lived in wonderful areas where it's like I'm in heaven. I've lived in Western Massachusetts where I'm like, there's all these people that think just like me everywhere. And that doesn't do anything. That doesn't make progress. this whole billboard thing was not planned. I mean, good Lord, that really sort of got away from me and got way bigger than I thought it would. However, I do realize that, like, as a person, I'm fairly vocal in the community. I know a lot of people in the town and in the area, and I'm a shop owner now, so I'm a bit of a public figure there. And I like the idea of using my voice and my, I guess, social profile to start conversations in an area that is not entirely always progressive. And so this whole billboard thing was like a happy accident where I was like, oh, God. And that's great. And that's interesting. And I love it. But I wouldn't want to leave somewhere where my voice would suddenly become invisible and just like everyone else's, because then I'm not really able to do much help.
You said the story broke nationally last Thursday, which was February 23rd. Where did February go already? It's weird. Now it's about a week after that. When it broke nationally, is that when the emails and calls started coming in?
They started to come in on a smaller volume when just the local stories broke. City Beat covered it, then the Winston-Salem Journal. And on the same day that they were interviewing me, the local TV channel networks were interviewing as well. And then also the way social media works, as soon as the Facebook thing was being shared, people started to be like, oh, this is stupid. And then the comments calling it stupid turned into people coming from watching the news or from reading this article, jumping on and getting really angry about it. And then when it broke nationally the next day was when the volume of the contact increased and vitriol, let's say, attached to the content in those messages got really large and very detailed.
How many emails do you think you've gotten in total, and how many phone calls?
I'm going to, for the sake of that, include Facebook private messages as email, just because it's also an inbox. I had a number, but it's also increased since I last counted. I last counted day before yesterday. And if you include the messages that I've received via Facebook, of which there are 260-something, I've also gotten regular email. I think it was like 70-something as of 2 days ago. And then I've also been getting text messages and phone calls from people. I actually just got some mail, too. So it's really fun.
What do you think the percentage is pro your message and con your message?
You know, I have no idea. And I'm going to say that the reason is because I'm not tracking that. I'm not reading the negative comments, the ones that are just purely negative. I have a team of people who have been helping me out, but like, this is so unplanned. I sort of scrambled together this small team to help put the protest on. And a couple of them, sort of their role is to go through all the trolling comments and messages and just let me know if there's a thoughtful one that I should respond to. Because I'll respond to the ones that are like asking me to clarify or like want to have a conversation or who like I respectfully disagree. I'll respond to those ones, even if it's just to say, I'll get back to you. I'm sorry. I'm really busy with all this. I'll call you, text you back. But the ones that are just random people just trolling or just angry, I don't read them. I'm busy. I'm real busy, not just with this, but with my son and my job and my business and everything. And I don't care. And I do care about the supporters. I love that they're there. But again, I'm not in the numbers game. And it's not my job to sort of look and see, okay, percentage wise, what is my approval rating with this message? To be honest, I hope, obviously, that there are more people that support what I'm saying than oppose it. But to be totally honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't, because I know that there are many, many, many people who hate women or who hate the idea of women being seen as total equals and who also hate the idea of women protesting about this. And the other thing, too, I don't know if you were going to ask, but I apologize if you weren't, but maybe it's relevant. The other main thing that I'm learning from this, which is maybe one of the biggest takeaways in this experience, because I've never experienced something like this before, but one of the biggest takeaways is noticing how many people are turning this into a political thing. I can't tell you how many people in these comments are like, oh, you liberal snowflakes will complain about everything. Start talking about Hillary. I was called, I'm going to quote this and you can censor me out if you want to, but one of my favorite, nearest and dearest messages was, rotten hell, you baby killing bitch. What? Like, what does this have to do with baby killing? What does this have to, what? Also, why am I rotting in hell? What did I do to you? And so there's just this thing where I'm noticing that regardless in this, perhaps it's the social climate, perhaps it's this political climate. And I know that this happens with a lot of movements that are happening, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's the sort of religious freedom, whether it's rights for same-sex coupling and LGBTQ gender identification, all these other issues that are human issues. They're about human beings who want to be seen as human beings, who want to be treated like human beings and not generalized. not stereotyped just because some people act stupidly. They just get generalized as being just like everyone else. These are human issues. And I'm noticing how many people are turning this into Democrats versus Republicans, liberals versus conservatives, Trump versus Hillary. I got called the ringleader of the pantsuit nation the other day. And I was like, what is this about? Because I'm a woman saying that women are also providers and should be considered equal providers and shouldn't be just told to and naturally 100% just appreciate what a man gives them. That's all I'm saying. But I'm a baby killer because of it. I'm just noticing how quickly, and this is one of those moments where like I'm a feeling person, but I also like to step back and think with my brain as much as possible about things that I'm observing and sort of like pick them apart piece by piece. And so like just the other day, once the protest ended and I had a chance to sort of sit down, I was thinking about like the experience of this past week, which was not asked for, which was like sort of bestowed upon me simply because I made a Facebook event. And suddenly I'm this spokesperson for women. And I'm like thinking about this and I'm thinking about just all of, again, the vitriol and the negativity that people are just so willing to shower, to rain down upon someone they've never met, raining down knives upon me for something that, for someone they've never met who's just speaking about equality and compassion and how easily they will turn it into being whatever they want it to be about. And then I just went, oh, of course. And then you think about anything else in the climate these days, whether political or social, people do. I mean, that's just the nature of it. I mean, we're a society full of thinking, feeling individuals. Of course, people don't read everything before they make a comment on it. Of course, people didn't actually read the interview in the Winston-Salem Journal where I said this is not about single mothers or stay-at-home wives and providers. Of course, people don't read that. They just see the headline and they make a comment. And the comment is hateful and mean and attacks people who are just trying to say we're offended by something. And this happens so often with social issues where people make it about these statements about law and legislation and politics and who's in power. And my comment on that is just that this is an issue that affects conservative women alike and liberal women, Black women and white women, women of all different faiths and all different identifications, women all over the globe, in developing countries, in developed countries. Women are affected by that statement, not just that statement, but the belief that it exists, that it's true, whether they realize it or not, even if they don't accept it, they're still affected by it. They're still seen as this, and they don't realize it, but they still are. That's fine. They can disagree with me all they want, but this is not about Hillary losing. I don't care. And nor should anybody else. These problems were well before this presidential election, nor any other one. So this is not a political issue, nor is racism, nor is just bigotry in general, nor is anti-Semitic action and views, nor is homophobia. These things are not political. They're socially political, but they're not partisan political. They're not partisan issues. And they're constantly being twisted around to be partisan issues. And so I'm saying this is sort of the big slogan that I've had just in my head the last several weeks. It's just like this is more of a sort of a quest for normalizing the idea of compassion. And I'm not saying the billboard issue is the quest for normalizing compassion. No, 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 no. I'm saying the women's movement. I'm saying feminism. I'm saying humanism. Just humanism. Humanists, which is what I identify as. I also identify as an organizer and an activist for racial equality. I also identify as a feminist. But overall, I'm a humanist. And humanist main quest is just to try to figure out ways to normalize compassion and kindness and acceptance and tolerance. And anyone who has a problem with that, I look at them and I say, I'm sorry that you're stating that you don't like tolerance. That's a shame.
If someone goes to your website, which is clurshop.com, that's K-L-E-U-R-shop.com, they'll see before they enter the site, it says saying no to this billboard and peaceful rally and demonstration Sunday, February 26th, 11 a.m. Can you tell the listeners about how that went off?
Yeah, it was nice. It was a really beautiful day. It was really nice. What we did was we sort of decided that we wanted, instead of having just a protest where people just stood and were mad, to make it more of a positive, progressive action. And so we decided that we would encourage people to bring bed sheets from home. We also had several on hand, and we provided paint and paintbrushes, which were all donated by members of the community. And we had a team of about 10 people sort of rally there in the last few days leading up to it to help organize it and pull it off. And their names are on the events website, which I'll give you at the end of this if you want. Well, I should say the project's website. We set up in the morning and people started to arrive just before 11 and started painting basically alternative messages that were positive. We sort of build it at first that we were basically going to be, and this is true, that we're going to be purchasing space on a nearby billboard, a billboard near the original, that would have essentially an alternative slogan that is similar to that one, but is, in our opinion, more politically correct or more socially politically correct. That is a positive message. That is a positive thing for, again, young children in cars or grown people in cars to drive by and see. And so we told people that we were going to be making alternative slogans, alternative sentiments to be on our own little quote billboards or little bed sheet billboards. And some people did that. Some people just straight up put really positive messages, just that were slightly unrelated or vaguely related, but mostly just had sort of humanist equality for all sentiments on it. And it was really lovely. The initial count that we had at the very end of the event was like 120. And then we found an additional sign-in sheet that had gone missing. And so it was actually just under 200 people that came. I think it was like 189 or something, people that were in attendance. We had about 60 billboards that were made, little bedsheet billboards that were made. Some people teamed up. Some people just brought in signs from home. It was very cool. And people just sat in the sun. It was beautiful. And it was really positive. We had some speakers. I spoke. And we had a stay-at-home mom speak, Ellie Wood. We had African-American sort of racial equity and anti-hate leader. There's an anti-hate organization here that he runs. He spoke. We had a woman pastor speak. And we also had a transgender identified person speak about her experience as someone who does not typically make the cut for statements about humans or people. So it was a really lovely, encouraging, positive atmosphere. Everyone really seemed to enjoy themselves. I didn't see anybody who didn't seem to leave feeling pretty positive and pretty great. So that was nice. That felt really good to see. We had a small gathering of people that were protesting us. It was a family. Pretty sure they were all related. They went on record. They were also interviewed. So their names are out there. I can't recall their names. But they were there. They were there for about the whole event. They were peaceful. They just stood there with the sign. And it was fine. It was lovely. And we packed up. We came up with a list of slogans. And then we made a website for the project that is up and will be up. And then we made a poll, a live poll, for people to vote on what they thought the best slogan to go up on our new billboard that will be on Business 40, what it should be. And that actually just closed today. In fact, actually in about an hour here, I'm going to announce what the winner is. We didn't include all of the slogans. There were too many. We were worried about it sort of being too diluted. So we restricted it only to the slogans that really seemed to be touching upon what the original billboard was stating. So a lot of the billboards that were just really extremely positive messages but weren't specifically commenting on the original sentiment, we took off the poll, but those messages were going to be screen printing on canvas patches in the shop and distributing them to other humanist organizations and protests in the future all over the country. That's sort of my next big project with this, to use all of the alternative slogans and just try to get them out in the world so that the people who made them can also feel like their message of positivity is heard.
This interview is not going to be playing within the next hour, so if you'd like to reveal the one that won, I certainly will not tell anybody about it.
And it's fine. It's not like a non-disclosure thing. I think people already know it's a public poll, so if they just look at it, they can see who the winner is. But the winner is People of Quality Don't Fear Equality.
There's a website called generosity.com that's by Indiegogo. Why don't you tell the listeners about that and about how much money has been collected?
Yeah, so that's really exciting. That was a really positive thing that came out of this too. Unexpectedly out of the blue, the day that I went national, I got an email from a woman named Susan Gregg Coker. She lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she is a very successful, very well-known businesswoman. She owns ModCloth, which is an online clothing retail shop. And she reached out to me, which was like very exciting for me to talk to her. She's really great. We really hit it off. And she reached out to me saying like she saw the news out in California and she wanted to be a part of this. She wished that she could be here to do this alongside me. So she said, how about I help out the only way that I know how I can from this distance, and let's help get the money raised for that new billboard. And her idea, which is a wonderful idea, was not just to raise money for that one billboard, but to try to keep raising money to get either the same billboard, depending on what the message ends up being, or at the time we didn't know what it was going to be, either that billboard or others like it all over the country in smaller, more traditionally inclined communities. And I thought that was really great of her. It was just really awesome for her to reach out to a complete stranger. And she just 100% embraced me as a equal fighter and a person also working for the same goals and the same scruples. So we spoke, had a great time. Then she said, well, let me head this up. And so she decided to head up the fundraiser. She went on generosity.com, made the crowdfunding fundraiser and the link and everything. So she's sort of running that part of the show, and I've just been checking in with her every now and then. In fact, I have a meeting with her in about an hour on the phone to sort of check in. Last I looked, it was around $3,000. I'm not sure if it's jumped again. We're aiming for about $4,000 for this particular billboard. What we're learning is that that's going to be around what it's going to cost for us. So just to get the one billboard done, we need to raise $4,000. We're not quite there, I think. I haven't checked, but I think we're not quite there. And after that, I know that she's really hoping, we're hoping that we can get a lot of people interested in donating even more to get the same, again, positive, nonpartisan message out there.
So your message will be up there, most likely, the one that won, the equality message. You're in an area there where there's a lot of people who would be referred to as traditional. Maybe there'll be enclaves in this country where people who might be considered traditional, they don't want to have people who are progressive in there. Is that okay?
I don't think so, no. I mean, to me, that's just separatism. I don't believe that any peaceful society or one that works very well together can be one where separatism is embraced. And not just embraced, but encouraged, or there are lines that you can't cross because you are a certain type of person, or that there are things that you inherently can't agree on because you are two different types of people. And I certainly am not saying with this billboard that, oh, because that billboard exists, anyone who's in a happy traditional relationship, screw off because we're not and we're mad. Like, no, good Lord, I'm so happy. I'm happy for traditional relationships.
The old billboard is no longer. Tell listeners about when that went down and about the new one that went up. If you have it in front of you, if you could read it. If not, I have it here.
I don't have it in front of me, but let me try. It'll be like an exercise in memory recall. Let me see if I can remember close to what it said, and you can correct me. And it says in bold letters at the top, much ado about nothing. Then it says something like a social experiment. What does it say? You have to read it, actually, because it's like not even a full sentence.
Sure. Yeah. You're right. Much ado about nothing. That's in bold on top. And then it says a social experiment that brought forth those so immersed in their own insecurity that in the mirror they could only see an angry victim of their incorrect interpretation of a silly billboard dash bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts. Yeah. Yeah, there's so much there that it's just like amazing. I can't even believe it. First of all, if we're going to go from top to bottom of that new billboard, first of all, it's not nothing. It's not nothing if you're paying for another billboard or putting up another billboard if you aren't paying for it. It's not nothing if it got to you and if for some reason you feel the need to respond in this way. Second of all, more importantly, it's not nothing to us. And you can't tell us whether it's something or nothing. It was not nothing to us. And by the way, it never has been nothing to us because the people who were offended by this message have had the equivalent of that message put in our face our entire goddamn lives. Not just women, but also men, and have for centuries. So it's not nothing. The thing that we were protesting and are continuing and will always protest is not nothing. So shame on you for trying to tell us that these things that are very important to us are nothing. They're not. Second of all, though, most importantly, not most importantly, but importantly, calling what they did a social experiment. An experiment does not seek to ridicule the subject of its experiment. Anyone making an experiment, you are to be objective and not assign value to the subject of your experiment. So if they want to use that word, again, with maybe irresponsible word choice, if they're going to go ahead and claim that they have made a social experiment, I hope that they will come out from behind their anonymous veil and explain to us at what point in the last several weeks or months they decided, you know what, I'm going to make a social experiment. I'm going to put up a billboard that says real men provide, real women appreciate. If they're going to call it a social experiment, I hope they back up actually understanding what a social experiment is, what their hypothesis was, what their objective was. This billboard, it was a choice to put on the same billboard, a message to us, to me, and to anyone else who's been vocal about this, that you speaking up for yourself is stupid and ha-ha, pathetic. And the tone in which they do it, which is so petulant, I mean, it's very, very, very disrespectful and has a tone of arrogance to it. It's just so counter to what we have been talking about and so counter to our own message that we wanted to put out. All the number of times that I went on record this week saying, let's not attack these people, let's just attack the message, let's attack sexism. It just served to prove our message right and correct and just. And I said this in a couple interviews yesterday. I mean, it's just an example of they go low, we just go higher. They went low at the first billboard, and we just stayed the course with our positive message. They went even lower and tried to, like, gut punch us. And no, they just look petulant. And by they, I don't even just mean the authors of the billboard. I mean, whoever they are, I don't, you know, whatever. But in general, the message of shunning and shutting down and shaming people who speak up, that was the whole Real Women Appreciate It. That was one of the side sort of frustrations, the implied implication that a woman shouldn't have a voice. She should just shut up and appreciate what's done for her. I mean, good Lord, the message with this new billboard is exactly the same. Hush, woman, stop talking. Look at you getting your panties in a twist over nothing, over a silly billboard. Just unbelievable. And if it was a social experiment, if they decided, oh, you know, we're going to put an offensive statement out there to see what happens. Well, yeah, okay, cool. You did it. You put an offensive statement up and people got pissed off. What the fuck did you expect? A lot of other people that I spoke to yesterday always followed up with the question, do you think that it actually was a social experiment or do you think they're just backpedaling? Of course I think that they're just backpedaling. I don't think that they actually had a social experiment. I don't think that they were like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this balloon up in the air and see if anyone reacts to it. No, I don't think that they did that. Clearly, they can't even form complete sentences. I don't think that they're that capable of sitting down and drafting up a true social experiment. I think that that was just a phrase that they put out there to try to make us look foolish. And I just think that it's incredible that anyone would think that a statement like that would make us feel foolish. We're standing up for something that people have been standing up for now for decades and centuries. And there's nothing less foolish than that. And if I may, I'll quote my friend Hannah. She said it so perfectly yesterday. She said, just as it was never about a water fountain and it was never about a bathroom, this was never about a billboard. People who are marginalized and who are sick and tired of being marginalized, there are events that happen and things that happen that kickstart a reaction, but it's never the actual thing itself that we're actually talking about, obviously. And I know you know that, David, and anyone who's been upset or who has been rejoicing by this new billboard. We're fine. We know what we're protesting. We know it's not nothing, quote unquote, nothing. We know this isn't much ado about nothing. We know this is much ado about something that's worth talking about. And I'm sorry if the people who put up the billboard or anyone who defends the billboard thinks that all we're talking about is a billboard, but that definitely, definitely never was the case.
We don't know who the person is, but you said you invited the person to debate this. Did you do that through the owner of the billboard?
No, I'm drafting an email right now to the owner of the billboard asking him to pass that message along. I have, though, in every news interview since, put that out there. I'm not sure how many of them have actually run that comment. So I don't actually know. I have no, like, sort of evidence that whoever made the billboard has actually received my invitation. Luckily, we have, like, a whole month to get there. But I'm sort of doing everything I can to make sure that they get their response and can't claim that they didn't. Because I really think it's important at this point that they come forward and say, this is who I am. This is why I put those messages out there. And let's have a conversation about it.
Molly Grace of Clear Shop in Winston-Salem. Molly, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. And I very much enjoyed hearing about the issue and hearing you speak. It's always a great pleasure for me to
hear someone
so articulate and able to draw on their experiences and then verbalize it the way that you have. So thank you for that. And thank you for doing what you did for free speech.
Thank you so much. I really like talking to you. It's very nice.